your thrift savings plan account. It sits there. If you're lucky or wise, you keep adding to it and it keeps growing. So do you leave it or do you put it to work for you in some other way? Here with some advice for wringing the most out of your TSP, Federal Benefits and Retirement Planning expert Tammy Flanagan. Tammy, good to have you back.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be back.
So the traditional model of build it, let it sit, then you hit 71 and a half or whatever it is and start withdrawing. But there's a lot more you can do with a TSP, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of time between your retirement and when you have to start taking distributions, which is after you turn 70 and a half years old. So there's the choice of either leaving it in the TSP and taking advantage of withdrawal choices that are available within the thrift, or moving the money out of the TSP into some other type of retirement account, like an IRA, or if you're going to go back to work, you could even move it to your new employer's retirement plan as well.
Functionally, though, an IRA is pretty much the same as the TSP, right?
In many ways, it is. Yeah, an IRA or an individual retirement account or individual retirement arrangement, whichever way you want to describe the acronym, is another place to save money on a pre-tax basis or a tax-deferred basis. So in that way, it is a lot like the thrift. However, there are differences, and one of the big differences is the cost of managing your money there. So your administrative expenses could be higher than what you have in the thrift. That's one of the things that the TSP is really noted for, is its low cost of operation because it's such a large plan, and those administrative costs are distributed over such a broad audience of now over 5 million participants.
Some survey work on people that have TSPs, and it turns out that some major expenditure was their main reason for the most number of respondents, 36%, to take a TSP withdrawal. But unless it's an emergency, is that really a good financial method?
Yeah, so this was a survey that the TSP had done with some people who had left federal service a couple of years ago, and that's what they did find out, that the most popular reason for taking money out of the thrift was because they wanted to spend it, either maybe to remodel the kitchen or to pay off maybe their car loan or whatever that big expense might have been. But I think, and I've talked this with financial advisors, and I think one of the biggest drawbacks of taking a large distribution like that all in 1 year is the fact that you may have to pay tax on that at one of the highest tax brackets. You know, as most people know, our tax system on the federal level is on that graduated scale with the marginal tax bracket. So if you were to add a large amount of income to the other income you have in 1 year, that might push your tax bracket from the 15% to the 25% to maybe as high as 28% or even higher. So that may not be a wise tax move.
Right. That would be mainly for an emergency, I would think.
I'm not sure if it's an emergency or a planned emergency, because I meet an awful lot of people who plan to retire and they're actually planning to take that big distribution to either pay off their mortgage or some other big expense that they want to take advantage of doing in retirement. So I just think they need to do tax planning before they actually make that withdrawal, make sure it makes the most sense to do it that way.
Yeah, that idea of a mortgage, I guess, depends again on your circumstances. I mean, the classic model, you've got a home that has appreciated a great deal in the Northeast, and you're going to move to the Southeast to retire, where homes are a third as much. You could sell your big old center entrance colonial with a wing added on the back in 1979, and then you would buy something really nice in Florida and pay off the mortgage and still have a couple of hundred left.
Yeah, well, that was probably retirement planning for many people, but I'm also meeting a lot of people today who fortunately have the means and the resources to be able to buy that second home in Florida, and so they're not actually selling the one that they've built up the equity in. So in that case, they need that money for either the down payment, or in some cases, they even want to just pay for it with cash on hand, which, again, you have to do some careful tax planning to make sure that makes sense.
We're speaking with Tammy Flanagan, a federal benefits and retirement planning expert. What are some other strategies for your TSP that you know about, and which ones would you recommend?
Well, I think there's pros and cons to both leaving that money in the TSP as well as some benefits to moving it out. So let me mention just a couple of things to think about before you move it out of the thrift to realize that the TSP might be the place for you to leave it. If you do want to use your TSP as monthly income to add to your other retirement income, like your Social Security benefit and your FERS retirement benefit, the TSP has a very simple monthly payment option that allows you to take a series of monthly payments until the money's gone. And you can either compute that over your life expectancy or you can elect a specific amount. So it couldn't be easier. It's very simple and, again, very low cost. and your money still stays invested in the five basic TSP options of the G, C, F, S, and I fund. So simplicity, low cost, those are the main attractions to the TSP.
And can you change the payout pattern midstream
You can. You can make changes once a year to the amount of each payment. And if you decide later on that you just want to do something else with the money, you can stop the payments and cash out the balance and move it to an IRA at that point.
So if you find you have a fatal disease and you've got 6 months to leave, you might want to turn up the spigot a little bit.
Use that bucket list. That's right. Yeah. So you could in fact do that. The only thing you wouldn't be able to do is if you had used the money to purchase an annuity. See, the annuity option is different than a series of payments. So be careful that when people are trying to figure out what to do, that they know the difference between buying an annuity with this money versus just taking monthly payments directly from their investment.
I guess it's a philosophical question if you care knowing you're going to be dead in 6 months.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that would, Tom. But what happens if you survive and then you've spent all your money?
So yeah,
I'm not sure if you'd be disappointed or not that you were still here.
Kidding aside, what other options do you have up your sleeve?
Yeah, well, what a lot of people have been doing also, instead of leaving it in the thrift, they may take some or even some people take all of it and move it into their IRA. And the benefits of moving it out of the TSP and into your own retirement account is the ability to manage it more closely, to pick different investment options, maybe tailor things to your own feelings about the different markets, whether you want to invest in technology stock or healthcare stock. You can really target different types of sectors of the market when you do it that way. And the other thing is, too, if you want to take different levels of withdrawal, you may not want to take a monthly payment. You may want to take money out once every quarter or once a year, and the TSP doesn't give you that much flexibility on how to take the withdrawals or how much you're taking on each one.
Or that gets you back to the first option, which is just to leave it there.
Right, yeah. And I think that's the thing to really give it some thought. It's like that old saying, look before you leap. Before you make a decision based on that free lunch seminar you might have attended or something you might have read in a magazine, be sure you really understand the benefits of what you're doing versus the downside to perhaps the decision that you're making. So just, you know, do some time to do your due diligence.
I guess many of these decisions seem to hinge on the time factor. You have to be realistic about what you expect, how long you expect to live, and how you expect to live, which is really quasi-financial decisions.
Right. That's the unknown. So I think you have to plan. Well, every time I do a calculation of this, because the TSP also has a real handy, very user-friendly online retirement income calculator, and I never ask somebody like, how's your health or what's your family history, because that really is not a good indication necessarily of how long you're going to live just because your mother lived to be 97. So therefore, I always figure everyone's going to live to be 115. And so we'll see if you take payments out, you know, how much money you'll have left at 115. And if you die early, you'll make your beneficiary a little bit wealthier.
Yeah. So if you put that death date out at 115, which you pretty much can be sure you won't make, that means your money won't run out. But
correct.
You just might be having a little bit less each month than you would be if you knew you were going to go to 85 or 90.
Right. And I think that might not be a bad idea because, you know, nothing worse than running out of money. Because if you look at the statistics of how many Americans are living 100% on Social Security, it really increases once you get past, say, age 75 to 80, 80 to 85. That's when you're starting to see people who do run out of money because they've spent their assets not thinking they were going to make it that long.
Yeah, then they spend everything and end up on Medicaid.
Exactly, especially if they need long-term care.
Yeah, that's kind of like a slow nightmare. Well, let's hope that people do a better job of planning. 115, that's our number for the day.
That's right.
Tammy Flanagan is a federal benefits and retirement planning expert. As always, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
We'll post a link to this interview and to more information about the TSP to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.